Dr. Cromwell, we're back.
Okay. So item number 4A1, case number 19-51, Natalie Meyer, physical therapist.
Ms. Meyer, are you present?
I think so. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Hi.
Okay. So and do you happen to have counsel with you?
No, it's just me.
All right. This is an informal hearing. Is there anyone else that you plan to have speak in your behalf besides yourself?
No, nope, just me.
We just need to find them out. Since we don't have, we're not in a room, we can't see. So we just need to find out. That's all. Okay. All right. So I have a script that I need to read. So okay. Let me go through that. Call this matter. Let's introduce the board members and staff and council.
Board President, Dr. Cornwell.
Here.
Public member, Mr. Greer. Professional member, Dr. Thank you. Sorry, Josh. Professional member, Dr. King.
Here.
Professional member, Ms. Hunter.
Present.
Public member, Mr. Clinton.
Here.
Professional member, Dr. Bastillo.
Here.
Staff member, Ms. Chepius.
Here.
Staff member, Ms. Cardoza.
Present.
Staff member, Ms. Crowley.
Here.
Staff member, Ms. Richardson.
Present.
And Assistant Attorney General, Mr. Harris.
Here.
All right, thank you. So let me read this script. The purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if a violation of any of the board's statutes or rules has occurred. If the board finds a violation, it may take any or all of the following disciplinary action. 1, issue a decree of censure. 2, place restrictions upon a licensee's practice. 3, issue a civil penalty of not more than $500. 4, issue other disciplinary action. 5, issue a non-disciplinary order requiring completion of continuing education as specified by the board. If the board finds a violation or possible violation of statute or rule is not sufficiently serious to warrant disciplinary action, the board may issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. If the board finds that there was no violation of the board's statutes and rules, the board may dismiss the case. If the board finds that the violations warrant suspension or revocation of the license, the board shall vote the matter to a formal hearing. And so, Karen, can we have just a brief overview of the complaint?
If you could swear in everyone first, Dr. Cornwell, then I can
gladly do that. Ms. Meyer and anyone else is going to testify?
It would be Ms. Richardson.
Okay. So if you'll just raise your hand wherever you are, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Ms. Meyer?
I do.
Ms. Richardson?
I do.
So this is an informal hearing for complaint 19-51. The complaint was opened after review of complaint 19-16, Carl Mumquist. The board alleges that Ms. Meyer engaged in substandard care, made misleading, deceptive, untrue, or fraudulent representations, aided or abetted a person not licensed or certified in the state, and who directly or indirectly performed activities requiring a license or certificate, failed to report to the board any direct knowledge of an unprofessional, incompetent, illegal, or failing to maintain adequate records. The violations before you, as identified, are ARS 32244, engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist, 32-2044-14, making misleading, deceptive, untrue, or fraudulent representations, 32-2044-16, aiding or abetting a person who's not licensed or certified in the state, who directly or indirectly performs activities requiring a license or certificate, 32-2044-17, failing to report to the board any direct knowledge of an unprofessional, incompetent, or illegal act, and 32-2044-20, failing to maintain adequate patient records.
All right, thank you. Ms. Meyer, would you like to make an opening statement of any kind?
I don't think so. I'm not really sure what I would think. You guys are pretty familiar with everything.
Okay. Anything that you think is pertinent that we need to know?
I mean, you all listened to the recording, I think, of when I talked to Mindy. So I think everything I needed to say was in there. And it was a little while ago. But.
Right. You'll have another opportunity at the end if you change your mind. Okay. Yep. I'm assuming that you're willing to answer some questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So does any of the board members have any questions?
I do. Ms. Meyer, this is Peggy Hunter. In the investigative report, you stated that you were working or operating as a PTA. Is that correct?
Initially, because of the licensure situation at the time, it was for, I think, the first month.
Can you tell me the qualifications of a PTA?
The qualifications of a PTA? Mm-hmm. Well, they have to have graduated from an accredited school, passed the boards.
Correct. Have you attended a PTA school and an accredited PTA school and graduated?
No.
Then, with all due respect, you did not have the right to work as a PTA.
She's a PTA, Ms. Hunter.
I know, but at the time, she said she didn't have her license. She was operating as a PTA, when in fact, she was just a tech.
Page 4 of the investigative report states that the first month of her traveler assignment, she says she did not have her Arizona license. She operated under on-site PT who served as her supervisor. She operated like a PTA. I had to get everything co-signed by the supervising PT.
Thank you.
I'd also like to know, Ms. Donahue, as far as I'm concerned, are techs allowed their own patient load?
Technicians only work under the direct supervision of a physical therapist.
So they are not allowed to have their own patient load.
The law doesn't specifically state that, but because it is the physical therapist's patient, the physical therapist is the one who determines on a daily basis the acuity of the patient and delegates certain tasks to assistive mm-hmm. personnel.
I understand that, but Ms. Meyer says in her report that she had her own patient load as a tech.
Can I clarify?
Sure.
Okay, so they, because they never did the evaluation, they weren't officially my patients, they were the PTAs, or the PTAs patients, I just saw them that day. Maybe it was poor use of wording, but I would come in and I had a schedule, but they were all under the supervising PT.
So the appointments were under the PT.
I mean, like, I don't know, maybe I'm missing the terminology. But like I would come in and I had patients that I was supposed to see that day, but they were the PT's patients.
And did you discuss those patients with the PT?
Mm-hmm.
So were the appointments made under the PT or you?
That's a good question. I didn't put them in the schedule. So I just showed up and had the patients during the day.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Meyer, did you bill for the time that you spent with those patients operating as a tech?
Yes, I'm totally sure how to answer that question. I mean, they were being billed for the services they were receiving.
Did you enter the charges for the interventions that you did with the patients you worked with yourself?
I think so, yeah.
Thank you.
Ms. Myers, were any of your patients on Medicare?
Probably, I remember a lot of them were on, that was a different clinical, that was a different rotation. Yeah, I think some of them were. We had some elderly.
So when you treated these patients as a tech and billed for it, you know that's not allowed.
Yeah, I don't think I was under the understanding that I was a rehab tech. So I granted it was a little while ago and I don't have the law right in front of me, so the terminology may be fuzzy, but I was under the understanding that I was to operate with the level of education that I had. Obviously, I didn't have my license yet, so I couldn't do evaluations, discharges, recertifications. But I could function with the skill set that I had as a physical. I was under the understanding that I was a tech versus a PTA.
Well, that's a concern. Very concerning.
So I'm even more confused. So did you operate as a tech, meaning that you came in and you did what the therapist had outlined for you specifically? You counted their repetitions. You did that kind of thing, or were you making independent decisions about what the patient should have and do? I'm trying to figure out how the world. Did you operate? And what did you think you were doing?
Yeah, so I'll just explain exactly what I did. Like, so I came in, and again, I wasn't doing evaluations, discharges, research, because I didn't have my license to do that at the time, in Arizona. So I came in, I had patients to see it with the plan of care and exercises that the PT had listed out on the exercise sheet that we kept. And I would go through and do those exercises. If there was a change that needed to be made or a suggestion, it was brought up to the supervising PT, but she was always on site when I was there to watch what I was doing with the patients. That answered your question.
So did the supervising PT kind of treat you as a tech? Did she just say, come in, do these exercises with so-and-so, and, or did she
do it on your own? It wasn't like a direct step-by-step thing that you would normally do with a rehab tech.
Okay. At this, I know you didn't have a license at this point. Had you taken and passed the Arizona jurisprudence law exam?
Yeah, everything was passed. I was supposed to have my license, but I was supposed to come up at like immediately, but it got pushed to the following month.
Okay. Okay. So you were familiar with Arizona law at that point because you had to take an exam and pass. So, did anything strike you as kind of not right at this clinic?
Initially, yeah, they were asking me to, and now granted it was a little while ago, but they had asked me to to do things that first week that I knew I wasn't supposed to do. So I had contacted my recruiter because I was a truck traveler at the time. I had talked to the supervising and we had addressed those issues so that I wasn't crossing any lines and doing things that I shouldn't have been doing since I didn't have my Arizona license. I remember going through the packet that I printed out and studied. I should have grabbed it today to have for this, but I remember going through the things they were asking me to do I knew I wasn't supposed to do. So yes, there were some things that had struck me early on the first week I was there. In my few years of practice, I had, looked through the packet and it was okay. They had wanted, if I remember correctly, they wanted me to sign it and send it to Carl, but Carl wasn't my supervisee, Shelby was. So that's what we wanted to check to make sure that I could send them to her to co-sign since she was the on-site super. I'm sorry if this is off topic, but yeah, to answer your question, yes, things were weird the first week.
I'm trying to find out look at my notes because I might get you confused with somebody else. But anyway, this was your first outpatient orthopedic job? Mm-hmm. Or was that something mm-hmm. else?
So it was the first one in a private outpatient clinic. So my very first assignment as a traveler and as a physical therapist was at an outpatient clinic. It was attached to a hospital. So because it was attached to a hospital, it was a little different. Like, you only saw one-on-one, you know, you only saw a patient one-on-one, you saw them for a very long time. this was the first technically like outpatient independent clinic where I was seeing, you know, more than one patient, et cetera.
Okay. So had you had this kind of experience when you were in school?
Yeah. I had the clinical, but I thought you meant as like a
serious.
No, you're okay. Okay.
There you go.
Thank you. So I wasn't remembering that wrong, but so it sounds like maybe this, since this was really kind of the first big experience you've had with an outpatient orthopedic clinic, that the things were different. You weren't quite used to them, right?
Yeah, it was different. In the first outpatient one, like I had mentioned, that was attached to the hospital, there were two PTAs that worked there. It was in Virginia. And it was just different because it was just one patient at a time. It was, I don't know, it felt very different from this experience in Arizona. I hadn't worked with rehab techs. This is the first time I'd worked with a rehab tech.
And were you comfortable in that situation, or was it kind of an uncomfortable situation?
It felt comfortable. The rehab techs were great. They were very helpful. It didn't necessarily feel overwhelming. I don't remember looking back and being super stressed going to work every single day. But it was different, you know, when you're, anytime you encounter something for the first time, it's going to be different.
I've got a couple more. Does anyone else have any questions?
I have a couple, but I can wait, Dr. Cornwell.
Ms. Meyer, tell me about your background and training relative to writing notes and doing documentation. How much did you get in school? How much have you had since you left school, et cetera, et cetera?
Good questions. So, I mean, everybody gets the basics of note training in school, and everybody's clinical rotations are very different. My clinical rotations, I had two outpatient. The first one was a very unique outpatient experience. Because it was mostly hands-on, like myofascial release treatments. And the second one was a more typical, traditional outpatient clinic. But their documentation was very, very simple. And I remember I was like, wow, this is so easy. You just kind of, you know, type in a little bit here and there, and you move on to your next patient. And so then when I graduated and I moved to Virginia, was my first outpatient. Everything was online. It was all electronic documentation. But I haven't really had any formal training since I graduated, because I've been traveling. My first clinical rotation, I was the only outpatient PT. The second one, there were other physical therapists, but the documentation system was Epic, so it was very much just you plug and chug, so to speak. You just type in a little bit, you fill in the blanks. My third rotation was back in Virginia, skilled nursing facility. It was very similar to Epic in that it was a lot of just blanks in the documentation system. You just filled them out. And then from there, I came to Arizona. I am drawing a blank on what documentation system we use there.
PT.
Thank you. And so now I've been a little bit removed from that, so I don't exactly remember how that was. But we used sheets where we tracked which exercises we had. But all that to say, I don't feel like I've had anybody really overlook my documentation, give it a second look since college. And truly in college, it wasn't super thorough. So just recently, my current job is a skilled nursing facility. I just took it as a permanent position in January. And we had our first, it was now 2 months ago because of COVID, or 3 months ago maybe, where we had the regional director sit down with each therapist and pulled some charts or pulled some documentation, and we reviewed through it. And I felt it was very, very helpful because there were just things they were like, you know, this should be in here, this should be here. And I was like, okay, that's good to know. I didn't necessarily know that needed to be in there for certain reasons. So it's been very, very simple training, if any.
Okay, so where I'm going with this is I'm trying to understand the documentation that we looked at that you did was not very good. You didn't establish treatment diagnosis, which seemed to be, that ought to be pretty obvious. The your evaluation findings were not informative of your plan of care. It's almost like, did you really do an evaluation? The procedures and modalities were not individualized, like everybody got the same thing. So help me understand, is this poor documentation what we saw, is that a reflection of the clinic you were in, or was it a reflection of your lack of preparation of documentation, or what? I mean, in and took your records and tried to pick up where you left off because you got hit by a bus, I think they'd have a really hard time and they'd probably have to start from scratch.
Yeah. I remember sitting down, I was sitting down and I was talking to Mindy about the whole situation, and as she was explaining it, just as you were, and more in depth, I was like, yeah, you're right. It was poor documentation. Part of it is, as you put it, maybe lack of preparation or lack of, I don't want to say mentorship, I don't like that word, but lack of having somebody essentially show me what to do. And then some of it was a little bit of the clinic. You know, when as a traveler, for what I would do is I'd show up and I'd say, okay, what did the previous therapist do? Or what are the current PTs doing? So I can learn from them or keep it consistent. So some of it was a little bit of a byproduct of what was already happening there. I don't know if that answers your question. I think it's a combination of a few different things.
Okay. Well, all right, I appreciate you because my question was kind of open-ended anyway, so I appreciate you taking a stab at it. What else? Does anyone else have questions?
No, those were my questions, Dr. Cornwell, about the documentation.
If there's no additional questions, Ms. Meyer, if there's anything that you think we ought to know at this point, we're about to go into a deliberation or motion period, so you're not going to be able to say anything else. So if you'd like to say something now, this would be a good time.
Sure. I think maybe this goes without saying, but I'll say it anyways. After my conversation with Mindy, it was very interesting because you walk away feeling like kind of feeling like a crappy therapist. And, you know, it just made me realize I'm a new therapist. I'm new. Well, I've been out of school 3 years and I have a lot to learn. So it was a very humbling experience. And it's been interesting going back into my school nursing and documenting completely differently. I'm more thorough. I'm more attentive to standardized outcome measures. My evaluations, I'm focused on more than a few things that before I kind of just, you know, I was like, do no harm, get the basics. And I took two, and I would like to take more. As Ms. Hunter said earlier, my goal, hopefully, or she was bummed that everything has to be online now, as am I. But my goal is to take more continuing ed courses on documentation, ask more questions to more seasoned therapists, especially like my regional director, my director of rehab currently that I have. They've both been working longer than I have. And hopefully in the coming years, you know, 27, as life calms down a little bit and I'm no longer a young adult, figuring out where I'm going in life. I can get a job where there's other physical therapists surrounding me to continue to learn and grow. But, you know, overall it was not a good thing that happened, of course, that's why we're here, but it was humbling, and I feel like I am going to learn and grow a lot from it. So I think other than that, that's all I have to say.
All right, thank you. Okay, so unless there's another question for her, I need a motion. This is an informal hearing. Maybe we could start with the findings of fact.
I make a motion, be patient with me while I walk through this. Dr. King, I make a motion that that we, for findings of fact, in A, but hang on, let me just get to it. Findings of fact, in A, engaging in performance of substandard care by a physical therapist, 1 through 4, actually 1 through 5. B, a bullet point, the only bullet point. And E, all of the bullet points listed.
This is Peggy. I hope this isn't a stupid question, but these, like some standard care by physical therapist, she was not a physical therapist at that time.
No, she was, Peggy. She just practiced the first month, not as a physical therapist.
Okay.
After that, she did practice as a physical therapist.
All right. Thank you for that.
Yeah, B, you said the bullet point, but it said, it doesn't, the information there doesn't seem to support that.
Right, and I think for me, this representation, I'm assuming, and we didn't ask her, but did she introduce herself to the patients as a physical therapist? She certainly billed as a physical therapist and documented as a physical therapist, so misleading. Herself as a PT, her first month working in that site without having her Arizona license is certainly misleading and deceptive.
Okay.
And that's based on her, interview response, Mike.
Okay.
Is there a second?
Second.
So we have, for finding the fact, we have A, B, and D, and A, B, and E, right?
Right.
Correct.
I left out C and C and D based on the investigation report.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, any discussion about this? Are you ready to call the question?
The motion before you is to accept findings of fact A, engaged in the performance of substandard care. B, I'm sorry, the items 1 through 5, indicating engaging in substandard care. There's a real echo. If somebody could turn their mic off. B, made misleading, deceptive, untrue. Underneath that, the findings of fact with that she billed and documented and performed activities as a physical therapist without a license. And E, all of the bullet points underneath E. Dr. Cornwall. Oh, Mark, you got to unmute again. Sorry.
I'm sorry. No. No.
All right. Dr. Cornwell.
No.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Ms. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Clinton.
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
The motion passes. You're now on to conclusions of law.
Dr. King, I make a motion that we...
Kelly, we can't hear you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, that's better.
Okay, thanks. I make a motion under conclusions of law that we find for ARS 32-20444 engaging in performance of substandard care, 32-20444-14, 32-20444-20.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept conclusions of law 32-20444, engaging in the substandard care, 32-20444-14, making misleading, deceptive, untrue, fraudulent representations, and 32-20444-20, failing to maintain adequate patient records. You're in discussion. Hearing none, Dr. Cornwall?
No.
Mr. Greer?
No.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
The motion passes. You're now at your board order.
Okay, so now we can, now what do you want to do about this? How are you? It appears to me that the biggest issue here really is her inadequate documentation. Although it's so spotty, I don't really know how well her evaluation and planning skills are. But I think it all stems from that. So I think we ought to have definitely some documentation education in there. I think monitoring might be worthwhile. And I don't know what to do about, because I don't know how well her evaluation skills are.
Yes, I'm in agreement with you, Dr. Cornwall. And I'm not sure, you know, whether it does say in her response that she is not planning to renew her license in Arizona. But I think, I do think at this point, you know, doing a board order for, I don't know if we can do probation if she doesn't have a license, but certainly requiring continuing education courses for documentation and ethics, potentially ethics. And, you know, at the reason I wanted the ARS 32-20444-14 is that she continues to be a traveler. I think it's so important for her to know that no matter what state she's in, she cannot practice until she has a license, regardless of what state her application is in that particular state. So I do want that to be on record. I agree with you on CEUs. For discussion, whether that's a consent agreement or a board order.
You're at a board order, Dr. Okay. King.
Yes. Since this is an informal hearing, we can just make it an order.
Dr. King, can I interrupt first quickly? I just wanted to correct something. Ms. Meyer is currently working full time at a SNF in California. She's no longer doing traveling, if that makes a difference.
I'm glad that she's not working as a traveler anymore. I wish that it was illegal for new grads to do traveling. I have seen so many students get themselves in trouble when they take these assignments that sound really wonderful, that they're going to see different places and do different things. And there's usually a really good reason why a clinic needs travelers, and they're naive and they get themselves in trouble. So I'm glad that she's got a full-time job right now. But it doesn't erase the fact that she had really bad documentation and possibly bad evaluation skills.
Dr. King, this is Peggy. I wonder if you would include a billing in your assessment that she needs to take in continuing education.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's a fantastic idea.
We do not have a motion on the table yet. You're just talking about various aspects of a board order.
Okay, guide me through this motion then, please. I make a motion that Dr. Meyer complete 6 hours of CEUs and documentation, 6 hours of CEUs in billing, and any other suggestions? Is it a probation thing then?
This would be a probation. How long would you like the probation?
Let's do 12 months.
That is there early termination available?
Yes, ma'am.
Is there a possibility that we could have a chart review even though she's in California?
We will not be able to subpoena records across state lines. You can do monitoring across state lines, but you are not able to subpoena for records across state lines.
I think monitoring would be very beneficial for her.
Would she then find her own monitor, or what would she do?
We would provide her, like everybody else, the approved monitoring companies, and then she would work out an agreement with them.
Well, I think monitoring would really be a great help to her.
How long would you like monitoring?
3 months would be my recommendation.
Agree. I totally agree with that. To be added to.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
The motion before you is for a board order for 12 months of probation with early termination available, 6 hours of documentation, 6 hours of billing, which I believe for clarification can be performed online, Dr. King?
Yes,
and 3 months of monitoring, that's your motion.
Yeah.
Is the monitoring going to start after the documentation and billing courses?
You can dictate that, but you have a 12-month probation, so it's a short timeline. It's up to the board's preview whether they want to do that after the CEs have been completed or concurrently.
I would say at least.
Yeah,
I didn't hear the consensus. But Dr. King, it's your motion.
I think it's concurrent if I heard correctly, and I'm fine with concurrent with the CEUs.
You're in discussion.
Anybody have any?
Does the monitoring automatically include chart review?
Yes.
Okay.
The evaluation skills, do you feel like that would be covered in the documentation piece, or is it truly a CEU regarding differential diagnosis or PT evaluations?
It depends on the course she chooses. The content of that course.
I struggle with this one because I don't really, I mean, if we go by her documentation only, I would say that her evaluation skills are pretty bad.
Yeah.
If we say, well, it's all reflected by the documentation, then maybe her evaluation skills really aren't that bad. It's just she's not putting down what she did.
She did.
The monitoring should be able to pick that up.
Okay, then I'm good.
So this is Peggy. So it would probably be to her advantage to have the monitoring after she has completed her documentation course.
Yeah.
So the stipulation in the monitoring is that she has to have 3 consecutive months where she's passing the monitoring. So you can either do it concurrently or you can do it after the CEs. Again, right now, the motion stands at concurrent.
I'm okay with concurrent, but I think she'll get the message that it's to her advantage to do the monitoring afterwards.
Dr. Cornwell, if you say that it needs to be concurrent, she has a time frame in which to secure a monitoring contract and engage. So if you really want that CE first, I would stipulate that in the board order.
I think for me, if I can just talk through it, the reason that I'm comfortable with concurrent is as she's taken the CE, it gives the monitor an opportunity to see what she potentially, her documentation looks like before the CEU. And then as she continues to progress through it and learning the feedback from the monitor on improvement.
Yeah,
extend the probation period. So if she chooses to do the documentation first, she still has plenty of time to get the monitoring in. And if we allow early termination, the extra time is to her benefit. Once she completes it, she could come back and ask for termination.
Yes, I'm comfortable with that. Would you so potentially let's amend the motion to 2 years of probation with an opportunity for early termination, and that gives her plenty of time to get all of these things taken care of.
Dr. Cornwell, you are the second. Do you agree to the modification of 24 months?
Yes, I do.
The motion before you is probation for 24 months to include 6 hours of CE for documentation, 6 hours of CE for billing, and 3 months of monitoring. The monitoring will occur after contract will be obtained 30 days after the conclusion of the CEs.
With the option of early probation.
With the option of early termination.
Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, the way I understand the motion right now, it technically gives Ms. Myers almost a year and a half, if not more, to complete the CEUs. Would you consider requiring her to complete the CEUs within a certain time frame that may be shorter than the 2 years, but give her the 2 years to complete the rest of the terms of probation?
Yes, I think that that's a fantastic idea, particularly since she's working full time, with patients. So I'd like to amend the motion then to require that the CEUs be completed within 6 months with the full probation time of being 24 months.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hurst.
Oh, Dr. Cornwell, you're the second on the motion. Do you agree to the modification?
Yes, I do.
The motion before you is probation for 24 months. The documentation, 6 hours of documentation, 6 hours of billing need to be completed within 6 months of the effective date of the board order, with 3 months of monitoring to occur after the completion of the CEs. Early termination is available. Are you ready for the question?
I think so.
Okay. So complaint 1951, Natalie Meyer. The motion before you is probation for 24 months, 6 hours of documentation, 6 hours of billing to be completed within the 6 months of the effective date of the order, followed by 3 months of monitoring, early termination available. Dr. Cornwell.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Ms. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Clinton.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
The motion passes. Thank you, Ms. Meyer. We'll be getting that to you shortly.
Okay, thank you.
And we're going to pause. Thank you, Natalie. We're going to pause to stop the recording at 10:03.